Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from, let's see, what'd you call it yesterday? Pegasus Springs, Colorado. Actually, from Pegasus Springs, Colorado, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 2nd, 2011, episode 197, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
It is absolutely a beautiful morning. I'm looking out my window. The sun is just coming up. And Chad and I got in so late last night that it was pitch dark. And so I'm actually starting now to see that there's horses outside my window. And beautiful pine trees and mountains and stuff I didn't see last night because it was about midnight by the time we actually got here after our long drive. So it's actually gorgeous outside.
Is it, you're in Colorado, you're in Pegasus Springs. Now,
yes.
Are you in a big rented house or something? Because you're with a whole bunch of family, right?
Yes. My in-laws rented out a bed and breakfast for the whole week, actually. So we're in a house now. Chad and I have the room at the in the upstairs part, and everybody, it's a huge house. And so everybody kind of has their own room and their wing. Now, I do have, count them, five. Under the age of four, nieces and nephews that I married into that are running around downstairs, and I can hear them calling our name. So they haven't seen us yet. So I'm like, Chad, don't lock the door. Isn't that warm and inviting of me? Chad, hide from the children. Lock the door. So I'll see them in a bit. I'm not hiding from them the whole week, obviously. But it was a great drive up here. Oh, my gosh. To go from Phoenix, Arizona, north up through Flagstaff, and then you have to head north and east to get over to Colorado, and a stretch of freeway called 89, it was absolutely one of the most gorgeous drives, just because you feel almost like you're on the surface of Mars. The rock formations, and I posted on Facebook on my page yesterday. It was just you're driving up, Glenn, and oh wait, on the left there's the start of the Grand Canyon. Are you kidding me? You're just driving by. I'm like, oh, there's the Grand Canyon over on our left, and then it just. Absolutely amazing formations. And then when you're driving through Indian reservations, and these places, granted, not the best place, you know, to like live and have farms, however, absolutely spectacular scenery and views and rock formations and like little mini Grand Canyons all along the way. So it was absolutely gorgeous. But I must tell you, the extreme highlight of the trip. Are you ready?
I'm ready. And by the way, I am looking at the pictures right now, and it is beautiful.
Yeah, I know.
In a very Western movie, Southern sort, Midwestern kind of way.
That's exactly what Chad and I said. I said it's absolutely like,
like a Western movie.
I said, this is John Wayne country. This has to be where they filmed all those Westerns, because there's like the little sagebrush and shrubs. And he's like, oh, I could just imagine riding my motorcycle. I'm like, motorcycle? I'm on a horse galloping through this right now. This is awesome. So I have my big Mac Daddy camera, my super awesome camera, and I was snapping away photos right and left. Chad's like, you have 1,000 pictures taken out the car window. I'm like, but they're beautiful. And there were so many horses that people had in pastures. And so I was trying to get like great horse photos. And of course, we're going 70 miles an hour. He wouldn't slow down or stop for a photo one time. So we're driving down the road. And we get almost to what is called Four Corners, which is where Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico all meet. So it's called Four Corners. And just as we're arriving at Four Corners, which is absolutely nothing. I mean, there's nothing there but like a little marker that says Four Corners, and you can look at four states all at once. We're going down the road, and Chad's like, look, there's some horses galloping. Because, you know, for the most part, you drive by horses, and they're just standing there. And I was like, oh, and of course, the camera in my lap. But was I smart enough to get photos? No.
The one time you didn't take photos, the whole 10-hour trip.
The one time, exactly. I just happened to have the camera down. Then I was like, oh, there's a bunch of horses galloping. Then I'm like, oh, my God, there's no fence. There's no fence there. We're looking at wild horses. We saw wild horses galloping down in a pack. Oh, my gosh, it was the coolest thing. And just with having, you know, Madeline Pickens on and then talking to the guys, you know, Stacy yesterday from the BLM horse auction and Mustang department there with the prison Mustangs. I am all Mustang fever right now. And then to happen to see some galloping down the road, it was the coolest thing ever. And, of course, I didn't get one dang picture. So I told Chad, I'm like, when we're driving home, we are stopping at Four Corners, and I'm going to find those Mustangs.
You'd be out there hiking in the desert for 3 days looking for them.
And it was just really cool because, you know, you think of them like Pink Bay or, you know, just like kind of some plain colors.
Every color of the rainbow. Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh. Every color, bay, black, white. And it was just so cool to see them just galloping. And it's like they were in a hurry, you know.
I was just going to say, do they ever go anywhere slow? Because everything I've ever seen of them, they're galloping.
I know. I guess they have somewhere to be. They got a schedule to keep, and they got to get there quick. So, but yeah, they were just galloping, and I just realized there's no fence. There's no fence at all. Holy cow, they're wild horses! I got so excited. So anyway, that was my day, and it was an awesome drive. And you know, for to be in the car for 10 hours with your best friend and not have one fight, it was actually great. awesome trip.
Well, that's great. And there is something Jamie is known for wherever she goes, and we're going to talk about that in a minute after the Daily Winnies. Uh-oh. Because you did not disappoint once again. Every trip you take. All right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Pfizer Animal Health Tuesday edition, we are breaking from the gate by chatting with a student jockey. That's right, Jockey College. Callie Francois has generously agreed to talk to us this morning about what it's like to be a student at the North American Racing Academy. And I'm pretty sure she is sneaking this conversation in between rides this morning. So depending on how the timing goes, we might be hearing the starting gate opening in the background.
Okay.
In the interest of being well-informed horse folks, Horse and Country TV's Katie will be here to bring us up to date on the goings-on across the pond. Apparently there's a little bit of drama, but then it wouldn't be the UK report without drama. And today in Black Beauty, the war appears to be over, and we will likely be further exploring the streets of London with our cabbie, Black Beauty.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. And we have a couple of Daily Winnies today, so let's get to them. The first one's not so much a happy one. You remember we had Denny Emerson's been on. He's the eventer, for pretty much a legend in eventing. He's been on. He was on our show, wasn't he, the morning show when we were at Rolex, and he's been on the Stable Scoop show a couple weeks ago and the eventing show a number of times. Well, he still rides. He, you know, he said that he's ridden in a training level or higher event every year for the last 50 years. Well, he had a fall at the Stoneleigh Burnham Horse Trials in Greenfield, Massachusetts. And according to his Facebook page, he's in the hospital with a neck and back injury, and they are waiting to decide if surgery is necessary. So he's in the hospital in Hanover, New Hampshire. And it looks like he was in the novice division at that point, according to the records from the horse trials. Got that information from Eventing Nation, so thank them for keeping up with that. And we'll try and keep you informed, too, as we hear how Denny is doing. But this is his, I think, I'm pretty sure he said it was his 50th year that he's been at that level
incredible.
Of a trial. I know.
Which, it's just awesome. And I must say, too, that Clayton Fredericks, I got this from their Facebook page. You know, you're never too good. You're never too good to fall off. And this consoles me a little bit sometimes when you hear that really awesome riders had falls, because you're like, oh, okay, so it wasn't just me. But Clayton Fredericks had two horses entered in a horse trial last weekend over in Australia. Two horses, two falls. And he's totally fine. Yes, but isn't that just... And so he was like, I guess on his Facebook page, I can't remember exactly, but it said, two horses, two falls. Not pride is hurt, body is not, but I am questioning my ability. So, yeah. Well, we definitely wish Denny a speedy recovery, that is for sure.
Yeah.
All right, yesterday I posted a question to our listeners, Glenn, and I wanted to know because I, you know, from time to time we read these stories and we come across really amazing horse names. I remember a couple months ago we came across the horse named Baby Dry Noodles. I'm like, really? Who names their horse Baby Dry Noodles? Well, I found his partner yesterday because they would actually go very well together, Baby Dry Noodles and his friend Yummy with Butter. Baby Dry Noodles and Yummy with Butter. See, they're twins. So we ask our listeners to find out, to post the best and or worst horse names. And I'm so impressed. You guys really came through. And I think my favorite one was Do a Deer a Female Deer and Do Re Mi Fa So La Ti Do. Those were definitely my favorites. But just let me run down the list here real quick. Desperate Horsewife, Don't Sell Me to Felons, Angry Loser, Hoof-Hearted, that'd be Who Farted. Mr. Jiggles, Rocky Balboa, Don't Hit on Me, Beer is Good, Kids College Fund, Evil Axis. Of course, we had to get the obligatory The Wife Doesn't Know and The Wife Knows Everything, which are still the greatest horse race call of all time. Miss Dr. Don Don, and then Chad's favorite was Lord Donut. And just Bodacious Tatas. I mean,
that
come
was
on,
my favorite.
Seriously?
Definitely my favorite. No surprise there, probably.
So, yeah, Bodacious Tatas. Glenn will be putting $2 on you at the next horse race. So I do definitely want to let everybody know that we really appreciated it. And Chad and I had some good laughs while we were driving through, you know, the middle of nowhere, Arizona yesterday. So thank you all for posting them. You guys get my daily Winnie.
Speaking of posting, I just put up a little picture because as you were driving through the middle of nowhere, Arizona, you just can't help yourself. Every time we bring Jamie somewhere, we brought her in last year. Let me give you some examples. We bring her in last year to the ADA show, which is the wholesale show for retailers in the horse world, to Philadelphia, because we wanted her to do the morning show, and we thought it would be fun to have her there. And it was very fun to have her there. But in the meantime, how much money did you spend at ADA? A lot.
Glenn, it's not about how much money, because really, you know, if you think about it, I don't buy myself fancy clothes or get facials and do makeovers and that kind of thing.
Okay.
I buy more stuff.
Okay. And the reason she didn't answer that question is because her husband is in the same room this morning. So now Now we're heading to Rolex. And Rolex, of course, is the 3-day event here. We were live from Rolex like 4 mornings on the Horses in the Morning show. And Jamie is there at Rolex with us again. And she can't help herself. And she spent lots of money at Rolex because she bought a saddle and some other things. You took a freaking road trip through the desert. What could you possibly find to buy yesterday as you're driving through the desert? Okay, so
oh
don't
my
cough
God.
It up.
However, it's so stinking cute. I just couldn't resist. First of all, you throw a horse, and then you put it on a purse. I mean, come on. And this is handmade by the tribe that lives in Tuba City, Arizona. And so I actually bought, I mean, this is like real, authentic, Native American handbag. Or
was it like
really
an, was it like a roadside stand?
Yes. I'm telling you, there's like nothing besides Tuba City. And so when you stop in Tuba City, doesn't matter how much gas you have, you better just go ahead and fill up because you have no idea when you're going to find gas again. And I'm really glad that we did that. So when you stop there and then, you know, your husband's filling up with the truck and keeping an eye on everything, oh, I just had to maybe run to the restroom and wander around a little bit. And there was this nice lady who had this little stand and she was selling purses and blankets and all this stuff. And I mean, come on. Where would you find a horse purse in the middle of a reservation everywhere? But I had to have it. I had to have it.
And you know, it's sort of like south of the border in Arizona, huh? Tuba
yes,
City.
It's so stinking cute. It's so stinking cute. So it's on our Facebook page right now. I mean, come on. How was I supposed to resist that handbag? So I come out, and of course I've got the purse. Chad's like, What did you do? I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's on sale. Thank you, Jen, for posting, but it's pretty. It's pretty. You did it. I had to have it.
It's pretty.
So leave me alone, Glenn. You, by the way, are the same guy who went to the, what was it, the Greyhound weekend rally or whatever, like Pony Club rally, but Greyhound rally, and spent a multitude of dollars on ridiculous Greyhound swag. So come on, seriously.
And my very appreciative Greyhound is laying right under, and I mean underneath my chair at this very moment. If I moved a one iota, I would run over her head.
Yeah, don't move. They don't like that.
Yes. She's like right under there. This sounds like fun. Now I'm excited to hear about your daily adventures there in Colorado and what trouble you get into.
I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I did get up this morning, go downstairs and get some coffee, and the lady was like, "Why are you awake?" Because my mean old boss is making me work on my vacation.
Now, however, you said there are horses outside, so that's some hope, right?
Well, Glenn, no, Jennifer, you can back me up here. Do we go anywhere without our boots and helmet? I mean, anywhere.
No.
So I might
no.
have my helmet, paddock boots, and half chaps with me just in case there's a wild horse that needs taming. I will be there.
Yeah, when we go on road trips, I have to tuck my riding gear into a sealed package because otherwise, once we close the car up, we get 2 or 3 miles down the road, and Glenn goes, "You have your riding equipment in here, don't you?"
Yeah, you have to. You may have to just be careful. But you know what? We drove my truck, so it was already smelling horsey in there anyway, so
yeah,
I didn't even bother.
Yeah.
Brings up a good question, and it's something I don't think we've asked the listeners yet, so maybe this will be our question of the day on Facebook. When you take vacation, do you try and get away from horses? Or do you take horsey vacations? Because I got to admit, when we had, and Jennifer even was this way, when we had our big farm with 25 horses and, you know, it was just work all the time, when we took vacations, we really wanted to get away from horses. If we didn't see a horse that was good with us. Now, today it's a little different because we're not taking care of 25 horses every day, day in and day out, so it's not as bad. So I guess the question of the day is, when you take those vacations, do you do you try and get away from the horses, or are your vacations all about horses? So, Dana,
I like it.
You like it? You have 5 horses at home, so, I mean, there's some work there every day.
Yeah, you know, I definitely am looking forward to taking a break from the work. By the way, I would like to give you a farm sitter update, because remember the last farm sitter was so awful, and he killed, like, all my chickens and just, like, didn't do any. My neighbors had to call me because the horses were out of water. I mean, it was, like, a nightmare, the last farm sitter we had. Well, Jose is staying at my house, and he called me 4 times yesterday. 4 times, just to, he said, hey, it's 2:00, can I turn the horses out? I'm like, no, Jose, we irrigated the pasture, they can't go out till tonight. Okay. Then I get another call later. Hey, I can't get Boomer to take his pills. I'm like, well, let me describe you how to get Boomer to take his pills. Then he calls me back later. I just want to let you know I fed the horses. I'm like, okay, Jose.
You know what it is?
Thank
Jose heard
much.
What happened to the last guy.
Yeah, Jose got the word.
Oh, I'm sure, because it was just, I told him, too, and I was like, okay, Jose, you have 1 chicken to take care of. 1 chicken. Please do your best. He's like, why do you only have 1 chicken? Because the last one of you killed them all. I didn't say it like that, really. I just said, you know, we had some troubles with the last farm sitter, and I'm hoping. But I know, but he's really doing a great job, and he's like, is it okay if I stay here? And I'm like, Jose, please stay there. There's too many animals not to stay here. There's dogs everywhere. And he's like, and that one dog, he won't bite me, right? He won't bite me. He said, here, take this bag of cookies, and every time you come into the house, just give him a cookie, and in about 3 days, you'll be fine.
See, actually, Jose is homeless, so this is great for him. You're never going to get him to leave. He's going to be there when you get back, and he ain't leaving. He's going to have his own little bedroom set up, and you're going to be stuck with Jose forever, I think.
You know what? If Jose wants to do all the work, he can live there as long as he wants. Jose's going to help us move. Jose, can you grab your bed and bring it on out? That'd be great. No.
Do we have a farm update? Is it still status quo at this point?
Well, after my 4 phone calls yesterday, see, everything seemed to be okay, aside from Boomer spitting the pills out.
I meant shopping for the new farm. Everything still on track there?
We locked in our loan yesterday in the car ride.
Yay!
We locked in our rate.
Did it pass the inspector?
That is going on this week sometime.
Oh, good. Okay.
The inspector, they pass inspection, it has to pass appraisal now. So we're getting closer. We're trying to figure out how we're going to have a farm and then the next day have a farm somewhere else. That's a lot of work to move
we
a
moved,
farm.
When we moved farms, we moved from one place that was about 5 miles away, and we had just gotten an entire tractor trailer load of hay.
Oh, no.
A tractor trailer load of hay in the hay mow. We had to move that along with what did we have then, Jennifer? Was 20 horses, 15, 20 horses? We had to move all the horses, all the equipment, all the household, everything for a complete farm. That was a lot of work.
It was a lot of beer.
We had to rent a tractor trailer truck to come in so we could move the hay again. You know how expensive it is to rent a tractor-trailer truck? And we were down a mile-long dirt lane that was barely wide enough for a car, let alone a tractor-trailer truck. He was not happy about that, but we did. We had to load. It took us, I think, an entire day to load the truck and about just as long to unload it at the new farm. It was not very well planned.
That is the worst. That is the worst. Well, we have, like, the stalls and the arena and all those are these big, heavy metal steel panels. And we can take those with us because we bought them for the rental property, so we can take them with us. And we're just wondering who's going to be the sucker to help us move them. Glenn, would you like to come over? And
yeah, you've been wanting us to come out. And we're going to get that invitation to come out and visit you. I can tell it's going to be moving week we get that invitation.
Well, if it works out like that, it just works out. Hey, back to the actual question that we talked about, which is on vacation, do you want to vacation with horses or would you rather vacation without horses? Robert Dunn said if he can schedule his vacation around a horse event, all the better. And I agree with you, Robert, because I've been going to Rolex for years, And that's kind of one of my vacation every year with the girls. So we vacation with horses, and the appearance.
And we kind of ruined that now too, because now you have to work on your vacation to Rolex every year.
I know. I got to work. It's constant, Glenn. Jeez, you're a slave driver.
One good thing though is you have a press pass to get anywhere you want at Rolex now, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I wish I got free food with it, but no, not so much.
you must have trouble finding stuff to eat at Rolex, because you're a vegetarian, and I don't remember a whole lot of vegetarian choices at Rolex.
No. Glenn, you are getting off on major tangents today. Now we're talking about
food. Can you tell we're trying to kill time to our first guest?
Well, when you mention food and you mention anything, Glenn will come up with food to talk about.
Correct.
So,
that's
yeah, not so much. But my vacations. I was trying to think though. Do I get away from horses or do I try to find them? And the fact that there's horses outside my window. As soon as the show's over, I'm going to put my boots on and run out there and pet them. So I probably would schedule with the horses. I can't even imagine what it's like in the winter here. It's got to be all snow, and these horses must absolutely freeze to death.
All right, let's take a break for our commercial. I read this one last week. It's your turn.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. I'll take care of it. Let me just scroll on up. Do it. Okay.
We always debate over who's going to do the commercial on Tuesdays because it has a lot of big words. And stuff.
I can do it. I am told I'm going to handle it right now.
You are a radio professional.
Let's see. First of all, we would like to thank Pfizer Animal Health for being today's sponsor. At Pfizer Animal Health, they are passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. Their expanded equine product portfolio includes our trusted Strongid C2X, West Nile Innovator, the Innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. Protect your horse against upper respiratory disease such as equine influenza virus and equine herpes virus strands 1 and 4. From the Fort Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, adjuvanted with Medistim technology for improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health's products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. That's P-F-I-Z-E-R, AnimalHealth.com. Booyah.
Very well done. You do that so much better than I do. I just think it's adjuvanted.
You.
That shouldn't even be a word, adjuvanted. Doesn't sound like it should be a word.
You know what? You know what I noticed yesterday was when Omega Alpha brings the show to everybody, they write down in the commercial, it says herbal health products. But the problem is that the H in herbal is silent, and then you have health, and you did it yesterday. You want to say herbal elf.
Did I do that?
Yeah. And I always screw that up. I'm like, herbal health products. Just one of those things. Hey, do you want to do Black Beauty right now, by the way?
Oh, sure. You want to do that? We can get it over with today. That'll be great.
Over with? Really?
I meant we could enjoy it earlier in the show. That's what I really meant to say. I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else at the moment.
Yeah. All right, bring it on.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 35, Jerry Barker, Part 1. I never knew a better man than my new master, as he was kind and good and as strong for the right as John Manley, and so good-tempered and merry that for a very few people to pick a quarrel with him. He was very fond of making little songs and singing them to himself. One he was very fond of was this: "Come father and mother and sister and brother, come all of you turn to and help one another." And so they did. Harry was as clever at stable work as a much older boy and always wanted to do what he could. Then Polly and Dolly used to come in the morning and help with the cab to brush and beat the cushions and rub the glass while Jerry was giving us a cleaning in the yard and Harry was rubbing the harness. There used to be a great deal of laughing and fun between them, and so it put Captain and me in much better spirits than if we had heard scolding and hard words. They were always early in the morning, for Jerry would say, "If you in the morning throw minutes away, you can't pick them up in the course of the day. You may hurry and scurry and flurry and worry. You've lost them forever, forever and a." He could not bear any careless loitering and waste of time. Nothing was so near to making him angry as to find people who were always late, wanting a cab horse to be driven hard to make up for their idleness. One day, two wild-looking young men came out of a tavern close by the stand and called Jerry. "Here, cabbie, look sharp. We're rather late. Put on the steam, will you, and take us to Victoria in time for the 1 o'clock train. You shall have an extra shilling." "I will take you at the regular pace, gentlemen. Shillings don't pay for putting the steam on like that." Larry's cab was standing next to ours. He flung open the door and said, "I'm your man, gentlemen. Take my cab. My horse will get you there all right." As he shut them in, with a wink towards Jerry, he said, "It's not against his conscience to go beyond a jog trot." Then, slashing his jaded horse, he set off as hard as he could. Jerry patted me on the neck. "No, Jack, a shilling would not pay for that sort of thing, would it, old boy?" Although Jerry was determinedly set against hard driving to please careless people, he always went a good fair pace and was not against putting on the steam, as he said, if he only knew why. I well remember one morning as we were on the stand waiting for a fare that a young man carrying a heavy portmanteau trod on a piece of orange peel which lay on the pavement and fell down with great force. Jerry was the first to run and lift him up. He seemed much stunned. As they led him into the shop, he walked as if he were in great pain. Jerry, of course, came back to the stand, but in about 10 minutes, one of the shopmen called him, so he drew up to the pavement. "Can you take me to Southeastern Railway?" said the young man. "This unlucky fall has made me late, I fear, but it is of great importance I should not lose the 12 o'clock train. I should be most thankful if you could get me there in time and will gladly pay you an extra fare." "I'll do my very best," said Jerry heartily, "if you think you're well enough, sir," for he looked dreadfully white and ill. "I must go," he said earnestly. "Please open the door and let us lose no time." The next minute, Jerry was on the box, and with a cheery chirrup to me and a twitch of the rein, I was well understood. "Now then, Jack, my boy," he said, "spin along. We'll show them how we can get over the ground if we only know why." It is always difficult to drive fast in the city in the middle of the day when the streets are full of traffic, but we did what could be done, and when a good driver and a good horse who understand each other are of one mind, it is wonderful what they can do. I had a very good mouth, that is, and I could be guided by the slightest touch of rein, and that is a great thing in London amongst carriages, omnibuses, carts, vans, trucks, cabs, and some great wagons creeping along at a walking pace, some going one way, some another, some going slowly, others wanting to pass, then omnibuses stopping short every few minutes to pick up a passenger, obliging the horse that is coming behind to pull up to or to pass and get before them. Perhaps you try to pass, but then something else comes dashing through the narrow opening, and you have to keep behind the omnibus again. Presently, you think you see a chance and manage to get to the front, going so near that the wheels on each side of that half are an inch nearer than you would scrape. Well, then you get along for a bit, but soon you find yourself in a long train of carts and carriages all obliged to go at a walk, and perhaps you come to a regular block-up and have to stand still for minutes together till something clears out onto a side street or a policeman interferes. You have to be ready for any chance, to dash forward if there be an opening, and quick as a rat dog to see if there be room, and if there be time, lest you get your own wheels locked or smashed or the shaft or some other vehicle run into your chest or shoulder. All this is what you have to be ready for if you want to get through London fast in the middle of the day, and it wants a great deal of practice. Jerry and I were used to it. No one could beat us getting through it when we set upon it. I was quick and bold and could always trust my driver. Jerry was quick and patient at the same time, and he could trust his horse, which was a great thing, too. He very seldom used the whip. I knew by his voice and his click, click when he wanted to get on fast and by the rein where I was supposed to go, so there was no need for whipping. But I must go back to my story. And that is part one of the chapter Jerry Barker. Tomorrow.
Oops. A little early.
That's okay. That's okay. You did great. I like the applause.
Tomorrow is part two. I'll help you finish. Part two of Carnage in the Streets of London.
I think it's a good chapter. It's painting a picture.
Sounds
hey,
busy.
What?
Going to say it sounds busy. Hey, I wanted to tell you we got some more answers on the vacation thing. And
uh-huh.
Aubrey Miller says, "What's a vacation?" which is probably what most horse people say because they never actually get any. Sandy Lovato, Frankie's wife, says, "For me, it would be horses. Frankie, not so much. I think separate vacations are the solution." I know Jennifer has thought that a few times. Colleen says, "My dream vacations all include horseback riding, an open hunt in Europe. Perfect. Fall Tour of Gettysburg on horseback. Bring it on. You know, Jennifer has ridden at Gettysburg, and it is one of the prettiest places. Have you ever been to Gettysburg?
No. Well, I've probably driven by it when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's just one of the most beautiful places because a lot of the battlefields are protected, so it's all open, and you can drive and ride around them. We've had drives there before, too. It's just beautiful. And Denise says horse stuff, definitely. So it looks like doing horse stuff is – now, I would like to know how many of these people run their own big barn. If you're running your own big barn, I think it's different. I think that's where the dividing line comes in.
That's where you need Jose. Jose will come to your house and he will take care of your farm and only pennies a day. No, just kidding. No, but Dawn posted on the bottom, and I really like her answer. She said, if it was totally up to me, I'd plan all my vacations around horses. I'd hit all the big race meets, Keeneland, Del Mar, Saratoga, ... So I totally, I get that, girl. I understand.
Yeah,
I would do the same thing.
I could see you doing that. You would love that.
Oh, yeah.
And why stop here? There's all those great ones to see in England, too, and around the world. So there's lots of cool ones. Speaking of races, we have our first guest on the line, and she actually boards at our stable where we keep Beaker, and that's how we met her. Her name is Callie Francois, and she is going to the North American Riding Academy and that was founded by Hall of Fame jockey Chris McCarron. And we've talked about the Riding Academy before, but I don't know that we've ever had a student on. And you know what I heard? I heard Callie is so much fun and that she is the bubbliest person that we are ever going to have as a guest ever in the history of the show. And I'm just saying all of this to put so much pressure on her to see how she holds up. Hi, Callie. Good morning.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Hey, it's so good to have you on. Now, are you out there riding horses this morning?
I actually just got done the track, because of the hot weather, the track, everybody's out there pretty early to beat it. So a lot of horses are, normally the big sets are done right about this time.
Well, how long is the North American Riding Academy? And we should explain to everybody that that's actually tied into a real college.
Right. It goes through the Bluegrass Community Tech College down here in Kentucky. Kind of goes through the UK system, so you get a little bit of that. And the North American Racing Academy is a two-year-long program. So I'm down here in Kentucky. I got here last August, and I'll be here until December. And then I go on an internship with possibly a top trainer from January to May.
Wow, that sounds like fun. Now, you were a rider before this, right? You did other stuff other than riding racehorses.
Oh, yeah. I've been riding probably since I was about 8 or 9. I started in the quarter horse business, and then I moved on to the Pony Club in 4-H, and then I started in the three-day eventing when I was probably about 15, and here I am at the North American Racing Academy.
Now, I don't imagine, because I've seen you a few times. We haven't formally met. We have to actually talk one of these times when we see each other out at the barn. But you are a petite little thing. I imagine that you're not having any problem with weight. You are so tiny.
Yeah, I'm one of the more fortunate ones in my group. If you want to ask, I'll give you the answer. I probably weigh about 103, 104 right now.
Well, you're going to be a jockey. It's not a secret.
Right. Yeah. So you can't keep it a secret. So I might as well tell everybody out there.
Every race, we're going to know how much you weigh.
Right. So I better get used to it, right?
Now, what made you want to be a jockey other than, you obviously have the build for it, but, you know, there's a lot of people that have the build for it that don't decide to go out and risk their lives every day riding crazy thoroughbreds.
Yeah, speaking of that, I actually almost got into a little accident this morning, but going off topic, the opportunity was kind of thrown in front of me. I was in Aiken being a working student, and my dad is actually into the industry as well. He's got a couple broodmares, and he called me up and said, hey, this is in front of you, take it or leave it. And I said, what the heck? So, that's kind of how it came about. So, you know, the thrill is a huge, huge rush. And I'm falling in love with it.
Well, you know, Jamie, you rode at Keeneland. You exercised horses over there, didn't you?
Yeah, and
no,
when you talk
not.
About... Oh, no, he was talking about me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So where is this school? What track are you at every morning? Is it the training center?
Yep, we're at the Thoroughbred Training Center every morning.
Okay, gotcha. You see, that's where I started, too. I didn't have a formal education. I just was small enough for somebody to throw me on the back one and go, all right, just bring them around slow. I'm like, okay. and the horses are plunging and trying to run away. But then, yeah, we moved over to, once they started racing, we moved over to Keeneland. And just an absolute rush, an absolute fantastic experience. Now, you talk about the rush, and I get it. I understand exactly what you're talking about, because I don't think there is anything more poetic and beautiful and awesome than it being 5:30 in the morning, the sun is coming up, and you're on a racetrack galloping a horse at speed. So it's awesome. Hey, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, it's great. I know the feeling.
Yeah. So,
yes,
you do it? Is that, I know that what happened to me was, you know, finally it just got hurt too much. So what exactly is going to motivate you to do the racing? Because it's totally different than just galloping horses.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely different. And not every, you know, horses are just like people. They're not the same. So I think that's the best challenge out of it. You know, you get to the bottom of what a horse needs and, you know, get into his head. And once you figure that out, I mean, you just let him go from there. Then it's then the game really gets fun. Then you get to go really fast.
Which is what it's all about. And, you know, we have a
right.
picture of you here that I took a picture off your Facebook page of you coming out of the starting gate. And obviously you were practicing the whole coming out of a starting gate thing. What was that like the first time?
You know, I actually kind of compare it to a horse doing a really big jump only about 5 times faster. it's just, you know, you're staying still 1 second and it's like 0 to 60 and like, or not 0 to 60, I'm sorry, I exaggerate a little bit. It's like, you know, 0 to full blast in a matter of 3 strides. And especially the horse that I was on that you're talking about in that picture, he's got a huge stride. So I was definitely gone by that point.
Yeah, and you know what? You can say 0 to 60 because it damn well feels like that.
It does. You know, you're in a car and you're doing 60 and you kind of compare it to the back of a horse and you kind of get the same feeling. You know, it's really different when you don't have, you know, anything bordering or protecting you.
Okay, so the question here is, and you got to be honest, when the horse is coming out of the starting gates, do you grab mane?
Yes. You definitely grab mane because otherwise you're either going to get jerked back or jerked way forward, and you don't want to throw that horse off balance. You kind of, for that first stride or two, you just let him get out there and let him do his job. And then, you know, if something goes askew or wrong, then you can kind of lift your hands off the mane and then start fixing the problem. But no, you definitely need to be holding on to that mane, or otherwise the horse will be gone and you'll probably be on the ground.
Still, you'll be still in the starting gates and the horse is gone. So when you're breaking a horse out of a gate, because I only rode babies and we would just walk them through the gates and try to make it like happy, fun experience. When you're coming out of the gate and they break like that, you don't interfere with them at all. So you don't like cluck or use your stick, or I guess you can't really kick. I mean, so that's their job, is to break out of the gate.
Once again, it's all a matter of the individual horse. Some horses, you know, need a little stick on their shoulder to get them going right away. I've been out of the gate, so, you know, not too many times yet, but every time I get on, I've had a horse that goes straight out and perfect. I've had a horse that lugs in, and I had to lift my reins off that first stride to make sure he wasn't ramming into the other horse. And then I have a horse who, you know, is breaking out of the starting gates his first 4 or 5 times, and he kind of stutters a little bit, and then he goes. So, like I said, it depends on every horse, and you got to be on top of your game when you're doing that. Otherwise, it could end pretty badly.
So, yeah, I understand that. So that's really cool. So each horse, that's kind of like you have to get to know the individual horse you're riding. So what is your goal at the end of all of this when you look back on your career as a jockey, which, by the way, is awesome? I'm a jockey. It's cool. What is your goal? What would, like, the big get be?
Oh, gosh. Right now, it's, for the moment, I'm taking it step by step. I'm still trying to figure out an overall big goal, but, you know, the big races, that's really where it looks really cool to ride, and I would love to ride all of those huge races. That would be a dream.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, I got to think about my future as in small stepping stones. So right now, it's getting on as many horses to breeze as I can, and when I start, you know, race riding, then it's just getting on as many as you can. So got to take it in small steps, small doses, but the big picture is, you know, big-time stuff.
Well, I tell you what,
awesome.
I think it's exciting. It sounds like a lot of fun. What we'd like to do going forward, if you don't mind, is have you on, and I know have you finished the end of the first year and you're going into the second? Is that what it is now?
Yeah, right now, so it's kind of we also have a mandatory summer session. It's only for probably 6 weeks, but right now, once summer session was out, I started freelancing and getting on horses that aren't the school. So school starts in about 2 weeks, and from then on, I'll still be freelancing and getting on different horses and doing different things, but Chris is going to be down there on the sidelines watching everything.
Well, I'll tell you what we'd like to do, if you will, is we'd like to get you on like once a month and keep track of you as you go through the next year. And then we'll all be there rooting you on at the High Hope Steeplechase when you guys get to do a flat race, which is sort of like graduation for you guys. So if you don't mind.
It's our graduation race. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll be rooting for you. We're going to make you our project. You are going to win that race.
Uh-oh. Sounds like I have a lot of expectations to live up to then.
With a name like Callie Francois, by the way, which sounds like a jockey, doesn't it, Jamie? That just sounds like a jockey
name.
It's perfect.
It's a perfect name.
But before we do that, we thought, because you are in jockey school, take it away, Jamie.
Okay, well, what we've designed for you is a jockey pop quiz, okay? So we're gonna pop quiz you and see how much you've been learning in your first year of jockey school. And
oh, man.
All right, so some of these are questions about racing. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. We have 8 questions for you. Some of them are about racing. Some of them are about horses. So just, you know, do your best, and then you'll be graded. So, Glenn, make sure you got your red.
All right, I got my
Chris,
pen and paper
just
here.
I hope Chris doesn't listen to this.
I'm calling him after the show. So.
Oh, jeez.
Get your red pen out, Glenn. Here we go.
All right, I'm ready.
All right. Who was the last horse to win the Triple Crown, and in what year?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think it's got to be Secretariat, and I think it was 73.
Is that your final answer?
That's what I'm going with. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, unfortunately, that is, well, you did say that Secretariat won in 1973. However, he was definitely not the last one. 1977 was Seattle Slough, and then 1978 affirmed. Perfect. So there you go. So question number two. Well, this is, you got to know this one. Who holds the record for the fastest Kentucky Derby? And bonus question, what was his time?
Oh, let's just try Secretariat again. And I think it was one. Oh, gosh. We got drilled on this first semester, but it's gone. I really need to get going on my history buffness with the thoroughbred industry.
You're close.
Oh, I know the time's going to be wrong, but I'm guessing 126?
Not quite.
I knew it.
I think only two or three horses have done it in under 2 minutes. Fusaichi Pegasus ran it in 159 and 2/5, but Secretariat holds the record at 159 and 2/5.
Well,
yeah, I remember writing that down in my notebook. Oh my goodness. This is a little embarrassing, I'm not gonna lie.
I'm giving her credit for that because she knew Secretariat, and she got a lot closer to the score than I would have, so she gets a point for that one.
The bonus question was the time. It's okay.
Here's
question number three, and by the way, you go to the coolest school ever because you study Secretariat and it's record time. That's awesome. I want to go. question number three, what is a furlong?
Furlong is an eighth of a mile, and it's approximately 200 or 220 yards.
You're fantastic.
Well, that's pretty good. I didn't even know what a furlong was. I went to those races every time, and I went, what the heck is a furlong? I never knew what a furlong was. Now I know.
There you go. Now you know.
Chris explained the history of why they call it a furlong, and it has something to do with the furrows in the ground when they would plant or crop or whatever it is that they would do. And it was just, that was kind of the length of it. And it was in between something, but I don't know. Chris, I will validate that Chris kind of told us the history on it, even though I did kind of forget.
I don't know. I think you're just showing off now because that was impressive. I had no idea.
Maybe.
Okay. Who won the Kentucky Derby this year?
Animal Kingdom?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding,
Yay!
Ding, ding. Good job.
You are correct. Next question.
She is three for four, by the way, I'll have you know.
One.
Oh, geez.
Two. Yeah, so you're keeping track. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I know she's in jockey school. She should know this stuff. I'm just making her brush up on some knowledge here. All right.
You're also making me blush for not remembering. Oh my goodness.
You're doing great. Okay. What is the difference between breezing and galloping?
A breeze is kind of a full out run. Well, not technically full out, but by the last furlong of your workout, you will be going full out. But a gallop is kind of like, let's just say, a fast canter. It's just kind of a tick or a couple notches down from a breeze, which is a full out run.
Gotcha. You are correct, of course. That is what you're doing every single day.
Yeah, about like a time for a good, you know, there are different ranges of strong gallop and easy gallop, but it'll range from about, you know, 16 is a really strong gallop to, like, 18 seconds is a nicer gallop per furlong. So.
She's showing off.
Yep, I am. Because we went over this last semester, and I really remember it.
Good.
The one thing she remembers
awesome.
Is, like, I'm gonna tell him, that's the question I knew.
All right. Well, answer this one then. And what is a lynx?
A who?
A lynx. Like, you won by eight.
A
leap? You know?
L-E-N-G-T-H.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought
I
you were
understand.
Saying lynx, like the cat. I was going, well, it's like a cat in Africa. A lynx.
Okay, you would be wrong, Glenn. What is a lynx? Like, do you know the horse won by two lengths? Lynx.
Yep. A length is basically the length of a horse. So it's hard because I'm coming from a show background and a, you know, full length or stride is 12 feet, but it's a little bit, it can range from like 12 to 14. So it's basically a whole horse in front of you.
Now that is kind of correct. A 12
kind
foot stride
correct,
is the hunter world. However, according to the Daily Racing Form, a lynx is 8 feet. I guess they just measure a horse standing still.
Yeah, I was going to say they're not moving then.
Yeah,
that kind of makes sense, actually.
Yep. Answers online varied between 8 and 12 to 4, even to 14, but according to the Daily Racing Form, 8 feet is a length.
Well, you can't argue with the Daily Racing Form now, can you?
Good woman. Good woman. And your final quiz question,
by the way,
is,
5 out of 8 so far. She's doing. She's better than 50%. Which, if she was in racing, if you could win 5 out of 8 races, you are a superstar. So far, she's doing good.
You could look at it that way, but you could also look at it as failing if you were taking a quiz.
But I'm not. I'm thinking positive here for you, Kelly. You need to start thinking in racing terms. You win a third of your races, you're going to be in heaven.
I know.
Now, really, actually, if you're thinking about it in baseball batting averages, you'd be batting 600, which is unheard of, impossible. So, fantastic job. Your final question is, what is the ideal weight for a jockey?
Now, that question is really varied, because when you start out as a jockey, you have what's called your is known as your bug weight, which is when you start out, it's anywhere from 10 to 7 pounds lighter than the rest of the field. So sometimes young jocks can have to tack on anywhere from 105 to 108 to maybe 110, but the seasoned jock who is, you know, a journeyman jock, a professional jock, he's out of his bug weight years, probably he's going to want to be about 115 stripped down because of his tack. You're also weighed with your tack, so you have to hold that.
Now,
you're absolutely right. That was a trick question, because bug boys have to weigh less than jockeys. So congrats, you get 2 points for that one.
I didn't know that. So, and by the way,
yeah.
The bug boy, that's the rookies?
Yeah.
Yep. So okay. Your bug is, it starts as soon as you ride, and it's basically depending on your weight. So when you start out, it's called a 10-pound bug, your bug weight. So you have to be 10, you get 10 pounds lighter than the rest of the field, because that's what you have to offer other than experience, which is what the older jocks have. And then after a certain length of time, or when you win 40 races, I believe it's 40, but it depends in every state, that weight goes from 10 to 7, and then it can go from 10 or 7 to 5. And in some states, it can go from 5 to 3, but that's a little rare.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Glenn, so basically the bug boys, what they lack in experience, they also lack in weight. So trainers can go, yeah, I think it'd be a positive advantage to hire somebody because they get to weigh 10 pounds less. So they get to have a lighter jockey up there.
Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
But at the same time, it's also, it can be a disadvantage if that jock really isn't a good jock and kind of gets in the way of the horse. It's, you know, have you guys heard of the difference between like live weight and dead weight? I mean, Jamie, I'm kind of sure you might have heard of that.
Well, the lead.
yeah. So dead, like, you know, if I were a trainer, I would have a jock who's a couple pounds heavier, who has extreme strength and can really push a horse as much as he can to go in that last ace, than an inexperienced jock who could get in the way of the horse and possibly slow them down.
Now, don't say that to anybody now, because you're going to be
a bug jock. I'm not going to be a bad bug jock, though. I'm going to be a good bug jock. I'm not going to get in the way of that horse.
Of course not. You're 90 pounds soaking wet. You couldn't get in his way.
I have something just for Callie this morning, because, you know, I think you're going to be hearing this a lot. And it's something I know you want to hear on a track very soon. There you go.
I've been hearing that quite a bit before, because that used to be my dad's ringtone. So
oh, really?
I hear it a lot before. I would hear it a lot before I went to jockey school.
Well, we want to keep up with you, so Jennifer's going to keep in touch with you. We see you out at the barn anyway, but let's try and get you on like once a month, and we'll keep track of your progress. Maybe we'll learn what you learned that month, what you picked up that was new, and we'll follow you through to the High Hope Steeplechase, and then we'll be there cheering you on to win.
That will be exciting. Awesome opportunity. Thank you so much.
All right, Callie. Thanks a lot. And I have Chris's number here, so I'm going to be calling and telling him you did very well. I can hear Callie now. Next test she flunked because she got 5 out of 8. She's going to be saying, but Glenn said it was okay. That's what jockeys would be happy with. I can hear it now. Thank you,
know,
Callie.
You might. Oh, thanks. All right, have a good one.
All right, bye.
Bye.
She was cute.
Oh, I just think she's absolutely adorable. You know what's funny is I'm waiting for, because we have like a sheriff on our Facebook page in the form of Susan Nelson, and she's always correcting me, and I'm waiting for her to correct me on any of my pop quiz, because I wrote that whole pop quiz without actually checking any of it, except for the how much of the links. So that's
it'll
the
be
only
her,
one I verified.
Tom knows a lot about racing, too, so it'll be one of those, too. We'll be correcting you for sure. You know, Dawn does, too. So, you know, we're going to – we'll see if you did all right. But it sounds like, you know, she had those pretty well down, except for the couple of the date things. She knows her stuff as far as jockey stuff goes.
She sure does. Now, you know, it's just – can you imagine going to your history class? And they're like, okay, kids, sit down, please, get your pencils out. Number two, we're going to do secretariat history today. Seriously? Today is the history of the Kentucky Derby. Pop quiz, who won next last year? You know, it's just awesome. That is just the coolest school to go to. So, yeah, she needs to brush up on her history. But don't worry, we'll pop quiz her next time, and I'll get more in-depth with the history and see if she's been paying attention.
You know, you would have loved to go to this school, wouldn't you? This would have been a dream for you to do this.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? And I didn't want to tell her this. First of all, I'm too big to be a jockey. Too big to be an exercise rider. I need to lose probably 20 pounds, be a rail. However, I'm too big of a wuss. Like, I love galloping horse, but put me in with a bunch of other guys going 35, 40 miles an hour. No, thank you. You guys are way too cool.
Well, let's take a break for our song today. And then we'll be back with our European report with Katie. We'll be here. And when I was thinking about a song today, I actually I was doing the numbers yesterday. And by the way, I have to do a sincere, sincere thank you out to all of our listeners. Our numbers are still going up, up, up. I took a look at the numbers for last month, and they're still rising at a proportion that Jamie says would make regular radio stations very happy. So we're thrilled with that. Thank you so much for listening and for telling your friends about the show. We really appreciate it. And I got to looking at the countries again, and Australia now is almost tied with Canada for second place as far as the number of listens that we have. Our Australian listeners are really out there, and there's a lot of them. So I managed to find a song called, but remember we had our listener, Shay, on who plays the fiddle. We had her on a week or two ago. We're going to get her on for one of the musical episodes. But her group, Rigel, plays a song called South Australia. So this is in honor of all of our Australian listeners. We'll be back with the European, traveling the world here from Australia to Europe with Katie.
Fairly well, yeah, ruler, king to me, heave away, haul away. reached Australia Strand. Heave away, haul away, have a bottle of whiskey in my hand. We're bound for South Australia. Fairly well, you rude our king to me. Heave away, haul away, haul away, you'll hear me sing. We're bound for South Australia. Oh, we're bound for South Australia.
Australia now. That's South Australia by Rigel. That's our listener Shay Moran on the fiddle. I love that. Again, every time I hear songs like that, it makes me want to start drinking Guinness. And I know that's not Australia, but it's Irish music. I just
you couldn't think about
beer.
Australian beer, could you?
Foster's.
Foster's, there you go.
And yeah, Nutella. Is that Australian too? No, that's more European. I do. I like that too. Obviously, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today. And thanks so much to Pfizer Animal Health for bringing it. And we have now our next guest, Katie Gilmore, who is across the pond. And she's over in Europe, and she gives us a report. Now, I got to paint a picture for you guys. Usually, Katie, first of all, I hope she's on right now because she needs to hear this. Usually, Katie is very studious, and she sends us a detailed outline of everything she's going to talk to us about. And so we can basically go right along, smooth transitions. It all sounds really good. It's perfect. Now, last week we announced that Katie was going to be leaving us soon because she has to go, you know, do those things like have a baby. And so she's obviously on her way out the door. She's leaving us. And today we get, instead of the detailed outline of what she's going to talk about, one sentence. One sentence about what you're going to talk about today. And it says, no huge plan today. Talk about World Dressage Master and Hickstead. That's it. That's all I got. What is your excuse?
That is because I've been working 15-hour days at Hickstead for the last week, and today's my first day back working, and it is normal as such. But don't worry, I'm not deserting you yet.
It has nothing to do with the fact that you're leaving us and you're just mailing it in.
No, I wouldn't do that to you.
Well, first, I guess, tell us, first of all, hello. How are you feeling? How's everything going?
Everything's fine, thank you. Everything's good. How are you guys?
Well, we're not pregnant, so it doesn't matter how we are. I'm just curious about how you're feeling. Are your feet hurting? And now, see, I didn't know that you were in foal beforehand. And now that I know you're in foal, I gotta treat you different. Gotta, like, rub
Actually,
your feet while you're sitting here talking.
That would be great if you could. I have enormously swollen feet and ankles.
I just want to make sure you're comfortable.
I posted a picture on Facebook, actually, of my feet and ankles, and I was advised that I should cold hose and staple bandage.
I've got some really good poultice that we can wrap your feet in, or we could just sweat them with some Furicin. So either way,
that sounds pretty uncomfortable.
Well, tell us about if you're this pregnant, you're working 15 hours, it must be important. So talk to us about Hickstead.
Well, we decided to cover both events that were happening at Hickstead. Hickstead is actually two different venues. You have the All England Jumping Course, which hosts the show jumping and the showing. and you have dressage at Hickstead, which last weekend was hosting the World Dressage Masters. Now, you'll have heard of the World Dressage Masters. The five-star comes to Miami once a year as well. We'll start with that. It was a fantastic event. There was real quality from around the world there. Catherine Haddad was there for you guys, riding Cadillac. Unfortunately, didn't make it into any of the winners' press conferences. Someone that did was Emma Hindle, who is based in Germany, but is a British rider. And very sadly, at the end of her test, let us all know that she was retiring Lancet, which is her longtime partner. It was very strange because Emma finished her test, patted the horse, and promptly burst into tears. Now, she is also pregnant at the moment. And, we weren't quite sure whether it was hormones or what was going on until the announcer actually said that that is the last time we'll see Lancet. That was quite sad. But we have a video interview on our website at horseandcountry.tv with Emma about why she's retiring Lancet, what brought her to this decision, and why he's such a fantastic horse. So, and actually in the video, she wells up as well. So it's another one of those tearjerkers that I like to give you.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. We'll be crying in our pillows this evening. Well, everybody should go on to horseandcountry.tv. If you're at work and you can plug in, obviously you're listening to us. So go ahead and watch these videos online. They're great to kill time. You actually learn so much. And, you may get a little teary-eyed every now and then. So Yeah, and especially when you pregnant women get all emotional, makes us cry too. I might not be in full, but I'm certainly an emotional woman, and seeing another woman cry makes me cry. It's just a chain reaction that happens.
I think you're right. I think I was getting all quite emotional. I always do when horses are retiring. At Gatcombe coming up in the next weekend or so, Zara Phillips is planning to retire Toy Town, who's a big, big favourite in the eventing circle. So I'm sure there's going to be more tears shed there. So we'll try and get some more videos so that we can make you cry a little bit more.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. We need it. Everybody needs a good cry every now and then. So what else did you find over there?
Well, the World Dressage Masters 5-star was really something special. The Grand Prix on the Saturday was won by Carl Hester. A British rider who you may have seen in At Home with Carl Hester, a show that we air on RDTV. Now, Carl is extremely popular, and he received a standing ovation. He was riding a 9-year-old stallion called Utopia, and he is one to be reckoned with. He's going to be Carl's ride for the Olympics and for the European Championships in September. The stallion is incredible, and he's very, I think, he's a horse with a lot of presence. But he's another black stallion, so we wonder how he's going to do against another certain black stallion at the Europeans.
Yeah.
So we should see what happens there. In second place on that day was Adelinda Cornelson with Jerry Parzival, who you probably have had over there a few times for the World Dressage Masters in Miami. She's a fabulous rider, and she's a tiny, very pretty girl that rides this stunning, huge chestnut horse. Her test was, as always, very polished, slightly behind Carl. And in third place was Carl's stable jockey, Charlotte Desjardins, who was riding a horse called Vallegro, which is sired by a stallion called Negro. She sort of, I wouldn't say come out of nowhere, because we've been aware of her for a while, but she burst into the Grand Prix scene this year with hers and Vallegro's first Grand Prix, and has just been in the ribbons ever since. The next day, she won the Grand Prix Special, and she won the Grand Prix Special by a cool 6%. Now, in dressage, that's pretty high.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She did well.
That's fantastic.
Vallegro, or as he's known to his friends as Blueberry, he seemed to love the crowd and was lapping up the applause. But we have videos with Carl, Charlotte, and Adelinda on our website at horseandcountry.tv. It was a slight shuffle round between the top riders for the freestyle, with Adelinda claiming first place. She performed a beautiful, beautiful freestyle with Parzival, and Carl second with Utopia, with his Tom Jones medley, which I don't know how much you know about Tom Jones over there, but he does a song called Sex Bomb and You Can Leave Your Hat On. And Utopia was stringing his tail in perfect time. It was beautiful to watch. It really was. And Carl actually got a standing ovation from the crowd again, which was just great to see. So we've got interviews with all of those guys, and also with the Team GB manager, Richard Davison, which is very funny. He does threaten to show us his underpants halfway through. And that's all on our website at horseandcountry.tv.
Well, I have something.
Now, hold on.
Yeah.
Because I've got to get to this before you take over. I just want everybody to please go to horseandcountry.tv, because if you remember the saga of Queenie, the Shire who was due to foal and ended up losing her foal. Well, here's what is on the website, is the video of the sow and her 12 piglets, and one is delivered, yes. And they show them nursing, and there's all these pictures of little baby piggies, and it's the cutest thing you've ever seen. So please, horseandcountry.tv, watch the little baby piggies being born, and then you can watch them nurse and suckle, and there's the cutest pictures ever. Oh my gosh, it's awesome. And go check it out. Now you can have it, Glenn. I had to tell everybody about the little piggies being born.
She's such a softie. Hey, I got to ask you about something. Another very popular rider over in England by the name of Michael Whitaker happened to get himself.
Yes.
You got a little controversy. What happened there? He got he faces disciplinary action following involvement in a late night hotel disturbance 3 days ago. And the question we have is, were you with him? Were you there for that?
No, I was working far too hard to be having any kind of fun. no, we weren't. I mean, it's all very much allegedly still, rather than fact. I haven't heard much about it, to be honest with you, but it doesn't surprise me. The show jumpers do like a party.
Apparently. All the article says is it understood that later on Friday, police were called to the hotel about 20 miles north of Hickstead after a disturbance involving Whitaker and other hotel guests. And it says here they were not fellow riders. It does say he has not been charged with any offense, but is currently being reviewed by the chef to keep as far as a penalty or disciplinary action is concerned.
Yeah, I can't see them doing too much to lose Michael Whitaker out of the teams, because he's having an amazing time at the moment. But someone else that was having an amazing time is an American show jumper, Kent Farrington. He was at Hickstead over the weekend, and he won the King George V Cup. And we have an interview with Kent about his win on horseandcountry.tv. We spoke to him after the class.
Well, I think next time you go over to Hickstead, you really need to get invited to the good parties, because apparently you're not.
I was expecting her to start busting on the American for getting in trouble for partying.
That's what I thought was coming too.
There's another American having a good time too.
we have no reports of bad behavior from the Americans. They all seemed very well behaved. But I mean, it was an amazing show, because there was representatives in both the show jumping and the dressage from all over the world, including one of the show jumpers who came from Saudi Arabia, which isn't something you hear of that often.
Well, that's true. He probably wasn't in much trouble either.
He was very serious. But it was very good to see. It was good to see so many riders making the effort to travel and to come to this show. It is a very prestigious show. But it was really great to see the classes so full and so many world-class horses competing.
Well, awesome. Well, Katie, thank you.
Like
thank you so much for taking time out of your very big, busy and hectic schedule to be on with us. I really do appreciate it. I know it's been a heck of a week for you. This little piggy went to one little nipple and then went to the other and then the other. Oh, my God. They're like walking around in the stall, and they're just tiny little piggies, and they look like little puppies. Oh, my God, they're so cute. So, sorry, that was my squeak moment of the day. Thank you, Katie, for being on. Please put your feet up. Take a vacation, good Lord, and take care of yourself. And I'm going to go to your Facebook page and find those swollen ankle pictures, because now I have to see them.
they're quite gross. All right, thanks,
Katie.
Guys.
Have a good week.
Bye.
See you. Talk to you next week. Oh, my God, Glenn.
this is the stinking cutest thing I've ever seen. They're little baby piggies, and one of them, it's like trying to feed on one little teat, and then it's like, oh, I don't like that one, and then it goes to the next one, and then it doesn't like that one, and it goes to the next one, and it's playing at her belly, and it's the cutest thing ever. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. you lost me. I'm done for the day.
I can tell. I can tell you're on vacation. It's like, okay, that's it. Squirrel.
Yeah, I'm done. End the show. Squirrel, baby piggy.
I guarantee you Jennifer's looking it up right now, though. She's doing the same thing. Aww. And everybody that's sitting at their computer right now is going to Horse and Country TV Baby Piggies. And they're all looking at the baby piggies, and they're all doing the same thing, only they're not doing it out loud because they don't want to be embarrassed.
This is the cutest thing ever. I'm, like, afraid she's going to roll over on him. Please, please. You're too big.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say? No, I'm just saying about the news. I was talking to you guys, I think on Friday, about the huge race that was over the weekend, the Haskell, which if Shackelford won it, he potentially could be Horse of the Year. Well, in true Shackelford style, he was leading the entire way around, looking at photos of the race. He's the only clean horse because the rest of them were behind in the dirt. He ran the entire way in the front and lost by just about a head to a horse named Coil, C-O-I-L.
Really?
So came in second place. But they will meet again in the Breeders' Cup because they're both qualified for the Breeders' Cup this year. So it'll be another good race. And unfortunately, Shackelford did not win. But he put himself in a good place. Won a lot of money, though.
Wow. Who knew? I didn't know that.
There
okay, cool.
That's for new.
Shackelford,
there you go.
Number two again.
Again.
All right. So we yesterday had a good time. I recorded the driving radio show with Wendy, and we had a lot of fun. We had one of our friends on. Sammy Jo was on. Remember, she's the one that trains and works with the exotic animals down there in Texas. Well, she came on and talked to us all about how you train a zebra to drive and a water buffalo to drive. So,
awesome.
Just remember, she has a water buffalo, too. So she talked all about that. That was fun. And then we had the guy on who does. His name is David Hellmuth, and he is the guy who drives, actually, he has three of them, the Wells Fargo Stagecoach in parades and stuff. They have a show rig similar to the Budweiser Clydesdale. Only they drive quarter horses, and it's a stagecoach. So we had him on the show, came to find out, and I don't think you'll remember this. This is probably before your time. Back in the 70s, there was this guy who went around the country. He was the first one to put together a 40-horse hitch in a long, long time, like 60 years. And he put this 40-horse hitch together, and this David we had on the show was one of the grooms that traveled the country with him and his 40-horse hitch. So take a listen to the driving radio show this week. It was fascinating. It was fascinating stuff. And he talks about how long it took him to hook up 40 horses and how long the reins were. The driver, to just tease you a little, the driver actually had 10 sets of reins in each hand.
That's insane. That's insane. Hey, why don't we play that on our show? We should just take that clip and put it on our show.
Okay, we'll take that clip about the 40 horse. We'll take that clip about the 40 horses because that was just fascinating stuff. And he's had a fascinating life. He's done a bunch of other things, too. He's the last one to drive a wagon across the entire United States from Maine to California. And
oh, cool.
he talks about that, too. So it was a lot of fun. It was a good show. So that'll be out in a few minutes, actually, probably by about noon or so. That should be up live at drivingradioshow.com. That's
awesome.
It for today. Why don't you go have some vacation day? The sun's probably
I'm
out
of here.
Kids are knocking on the door going, where is she?
Oh, yeah. They already ran in once. Did you hear me in the middle of that interview? I was like, hey, guys, hold on. Go. And I'm like pushing the children back, like, don't touch the power cord. I have such a grumpy old aunt. I'm like, get out of the room.
Aunt Jamie. Oh, I bet you they love Aunt Jamie.
they did before this morning before I shoved them all out of here. Got to go apologize. Hi, kids. I really do like you. I swear.
Yeah.
Well, you have a great time today. Will do. And I will talk to you all a little bit later. Everybody remember, spay, neuter, and geld.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Get a ride in and wear your helmets. Talk to you again tomorrow morning, Jamie, and we'll find out what adventures you got in with the kids today.
Oh, boy.